Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast here. Looking ahead to, I always say it, it's a huge weekend, but it really is. A lot of the guys have said it in interviews recently. Every game feels like a playoff game. And that's because Panthers are in the mix for three trophies as we speak. We're going to look ahead to the weekend, a road game at Dundee, and that huge home game against Glasgow Clan. As we speak, as we record this on Wednesday night, there's barely a handful of tickets left. If you want to go to the game, you're looking at right at the back of some of the blocks now as we speak. Get your tickets ASAP. That game's going to sell out. Coventry a week on Saturday is probably going to sell out. And that midweek game against Guildford, the £10 game, that's going to sell out. So get your tickets as soon as possible. Joined tonight by three guests. One maybe to come if his line dancing class ends in time. But I've got Jono Bullard, Chris Gadsby from BBC Radio Nottingham, and a former Panthers netminder, Dan Green. Ken Feast, TBC at the moment. But for the moment, you guys, hello, how are you all?
Evening, everyone.
Oh, evening,
all good, thank you.
Evening, all good, thank you.
Awesome, great to have you along, TSGG. Probably not, what, your second or third appearance?
Second.
On the, second appearance second. On the pre-game podcast. We are honoured that you grace us with, with your presence. Look, we'll get right down to business and we'll go back just one game last weekend, and it's pretty easy to break down because that was a phenomenal performance. I talked to Danny Stewart before the game and I kind of said, you know, if you win that game, what would it mean to go second? I know we're now third in the table, but what would it mean to go second? What sort of statement? And Danny said, well, that would be good. But to me, it'd be more about going into Cardiff and getting the win. That would make the statement. Greener, to you first, because you're the former player amongst them. How much of a statement was that, that Panthers meant business, that they could go into the barn of one of their biggest rivals and pick up a great win?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously huge. I think that was our first win there this season. So obviously, you know, that's a team we're going to have to go through if we do want to, you know, really challenge for the league. So, you know, going into a building that we haven't won in this year and coming out with a huge 2 points. Obviously, they've been on, you know, a decent roll coming off the back of that Continental Cup victory. You know, they've taken some big scalps as well. And I think just going there, especially into their rink, and coming away with a hard fought 2 points, you know. So this year we, you know, I think except for Belfast, we've probably won in every building this year. So yeah, really good signs, and the train just keeps on rolling at the moment for the boys.
Well, you could tell me, but off the top of my head, Glasgow must be the only building we've not won in. Chris and Jono, pretty sure that's right off the top of the air.
Glasgow and Belfast.
Yes, in addition to Belfast, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sorry,
right.
Yeah.
I think I said the only one, but no, absolutely right, Glasgow and Belfast. Jono, you know, what impressed you most? And you know, well, let's open this up because you waxed lyrical about the game-winning goal. And I talked to Sam Hare about that goal as well because, you know, Cardiff had a pretty dreadful line change, let's be honest. And, you know, but it had to be executed well, and Kontos to Fossier. You love Fossier's pass. What a finish from Sam Hare. But you loved that goal, didn't you, Jono?
Yeah, it seems to be every week there's now a world-class assist that I have to point out. And the thing is, I didn't notice it when I first viewed it on the highlights. I was more watching the finish from Sam Hare, which was a great finish. But then I watched it again last night, and the pass from Fossier is just something else because he's looking directly at Carruth. And so Carruth is expecting the shot from him. And he knows exactly where Sam Hare is. No look pass. Doesn't even look at Sam Hare. And all Sam Hare then has got to do is to put it into a pretty much empty net. I mean, well, it was a great finish because he was from the angle. But the assist is another world-class assist. And I think, you know, I've got two contenders now for assist of the season.
They've got to be
pretty special if they're going to get into the final four and beat those two. So
you normally get that task, don't you? Goal and save and assist of the season. Well, you've got two of them right up there now, haven't you?
I've got two assists right up there.
Yeah, but
I think goal might be a bit tricky this year. But
good point. I mean, goals of the season are often the finish. But, you know, you could argue like a well-worked move like that, you know, like that goal there There certainly are plenty of goal of the season contenders. Cooper Sex trying to get in there. Diederik Hamrén. There's a lot of them. Chris, you've been watching Panthers for a good number of years. Is that Hen Brandt? Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here. Is that Hare, Fossier, and Kontos line probably one of the best you've seen in your time covering Panthers?
Certainly in the last 7 years that I've been covering the Panthers, yes, absolutely. They're a line that every single time they go on the ice, they look like they're going to score. So it makes it really exciting to watch. The points kind of speak for themselves, really, particularly over the last couple of months as Panthers have been on this winning streak. And yeah, I think it's for every player on that line to be performing as consistently as they are, it just makes it such an exciting watch every week.
And Greener, how, once a trio of players get that telepathic, that comes down to, I guess it's not just what we see on the ice and we see in games. A lot of that work is done as well in training, isn't it? How important is that?
Yeah, it's huge. I think obviously, since Mitchell Fossier has been here, I think he's just fit straight in. I think because he had that history with Stephenson, I think we thought he might play with him and Tim Doherty. I think we all assumed that would be a line, but yeah, I think he's just elevated. He's taken Sam Hare and Kontos, and they were on separate lines before, and obviously at some point, Danny put them together and they've never looked back. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure day in, day out, they're working hard in practice. But you sometimes just get those lines. I remember, well, they're back together now, but in Belfast, Conway, Pickenich, and Goodwin, they had a couple of years together where they were just unstoppable, those three. And, you sometimes just get that, three guys just absolutely gel from the moment they're together. And they all kind of bring something a little bit different, but they just work together so well. You look at like Ling, Bruce Graham, Benedict, totally different players, but for whatever reason, they all just clicked. And once they've been together, they've never looked back. And, I think you'd be hard pressed. I know we're biased, but you'd be hard pressed to find a better line in the league. I don't think any team boasts a line that's so potent at the moment than we do with those three.
And Chris Gadsby, it's really enjoyable to watch the three of them, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that spans to the entire team as well. I mean, we've had a couple of difficult years for one reason or another at the Panthers, and then there was the pandemic before that, the Elite Series. So it's been a while since Panthers have had a side where they look as though every single night they can go and win, and every single night, they have the opportunity to put the 2 points on the board that keeps the pressure up at the top. Because, yes, the gap is what it is at the moment, but there is a game in hand in there. And of course, that final weekend, I mean, it could well come down to that final weekend with the double over Belfast. You haven't got to make up 8 points by, but in a short space of time. The gap could be six, then you've only got to make up three, maybe only two, if you can get the regulation win sorted before it comes down to that final weekend. So it is really exciting to watch not just that top line, but Panthers are getting scoring throughout all of the lines and backed up by solid net minding as well. There doesn't seem to be anywhere where you go, that's not really where we want it to be.
What's interesting, Jono, is the conversations we're having here about, how do you chase down Belfast Giants? I'm sure people in Cardiff and people in Sheffield are having exactly the same conversations because, they're very much in the mix as well. I mean, I'm sure there's been an exciting one quite recently, but we certainly haven't been involved in it. But it feels like, genuinely there's four teams. And I think a lot of people, and I'm okay with this. But I don't hear people putting our name in the mix. I listen to podcasts. I watch people on Twitter, and no one's really putting our name in the mix. But that's okay with me. I want us to, keep staying under the radar. But it genuinely is that, we've said it on a while. I think probably about a couple of months ago, I think we said six teams would probably throw that hat in the ring because Coventry and Guildford were a bit closer. There's not a massive amount of points difference, but it to me, it genuinely is a four horse race right now, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly is. I think Belfast, Steelers, us, Cardiff, the league champions are going to come from that foursome without any shadow of a doubt for me. Stranger things have happened. I mean, Coventry and Guildford could get on good runs, but I just think currently Guildford are 13 points back from Belfast and Coventry are 12. So I think, and they played, Coventry played more games, Guildford the same. So I think that's probably a little too much at this stage. But I think one of the things, and just going back to what you were saying about we don't seem to be in the conversation with fans of other teams or the podcasts. I've listened to podcasts this week as well. We're not even getting a mention. And I would say ignore us at your peril because we're now on a 7-game run. We've won the last 7 games straight. And I don't think anyone has had as good a winning streak as that this season in the league. I'll have to double check that, but I think that's the case. And the other thing, the saying goes, defense wins championships. We've currently got the best defense in the league. And it's now quite a gap that the Panthers are opening up as far as goals against per game average goes. 2.29 per game against Belfast of 2.4 a game. So we're actually quite a way ahead now on goals per game. Currently, statistically, got the best netminder in the league in Jason Grande, 94.02% save percentage and 1.95 goals against average, which are crazy stats considering the number of games that he's played and played in a row as well. So yeah, definitely ignore us at your peril because I think we are very, very much in this title fight.
But I can understand why we're being ignored because we haven't been in a title race for a long time. So I do understand when
I understand that. But
when other,
the statistics back up that we are very much in it.
Well, I agree with you. But you know, when it comes to this crunch, it's kind of it's we haven't had this sort of, you know, it's uncharted territory since really, you know, the year we won it. Yes, we've won trophies since we won the league title. But you know, I've actually got a couple of questions I want to throw out there. We'll come back to Jason Grande in a minute because I want to talk to you. I feel like I talk about Jason Grande every week to you, Greener, but we'll come there in a minute. But I spoke to Sam Hare today, and that interview will go out probably on Friday in the weekend preview with Sam Hurst. But Chris Gadsby, I'll put this one to you. And you mentioned the pandemic year, and I actually said to that, you know, do you see similarities? And he 100% agreed because that year we had a slow start. Yes, we had a good start in the cup this season, but in the league we had a slow start. I actually think, off memory, when the pandemic hit, we were 6 points behind, and that was in March. Here we are in January, well, no, February, 8 points behind with a game in hand on the leader. So arguably we're in a better position than we were in the pandemic year. And believe you me, like those guys in that dressing room in that pandemic year thought they were in a title race. And if not a title race, they were excited for the playoffs around the corner. But do you see similarities? If you think of the guys that came in that year, Horvat came in, didn't he? Talbot came in. And who's the lad that played with Sam Hare? Oh, come on, guys.
Hanson.
Hansen,
Hansen, Jake Hansen. You know, you look at the players that came in. It's very similar here, Chris, that players have come in, and we were talking about this. I was talking about this with someone else today. Quite often, mid-season signings don't cut the mustard. But you know, I think two questions in one here for you, Chris. The mid-season signings have been fantastic, and there are eerie similarities about that pandemic from that pandemic year.
I'm glad you've come back to it because I was going back through all my spreadsheets. So the pandemic year was kind of the last time that Panthers were in a title race, as you said, 6 points off the top when that season got curtailed. Of course, you've got to take into account there that everyone played a different number of games, but it only got curtailed a couple of weeks before the end of the season, really. Panthers were 6 points off the top, but they were in fifth. That's how close that league was. Cardiff 64, Sheffield 63, Coventry 61, Belfast 60, and then Nottingham on 58. So it was really close. And then you look at it again that season, Sam Hare, top goal scorer, Sam Hare, top point scorer, longest goal streak, longest point streak, all belonging to Sam Hare. But again, as you said, the players that came in a bit late there, were great in that season. And again, I mean, I can remember talking to Danny post game just after Jason came in, and he said, Bedsy is our guy, but we need Jason when he's needed to come in and put the performances in. And then see Ryan gets himself injured, and Jason's had to come in, and he's probably giving Danny a real headache now, because if he still says that Ryan is the number one guy, but how do you take Jason Gronde out of the lineup now, where he's playing as well as he is?
That actually is a good question, and kind of I'll come to. In fact, my question can wait. Dan Green, you can't take Grande out of the lineup right now, can you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, you guys may know more. I have no idea when Ryan's expected back. As of right now, no, I think, obviously with the team's playing so well, Jason's playing so well, if there comes a point whenever Ryan's back, if it's a double header weekend, just say, or if it's, we've got a midweek game as well, you obviously give Ryan one of the two or one of the three games and get him back in and obviously see how he is. But I certainly don't think Jason's going to play every game now from now till the end of the season. He's not going to end up playing sort of 30 straight games. But I think we all know how good Ryan is, and you'd probably still say he's our number one if fit. But no, I mean, as of right now, Jason's been amazing, and even when Ryan comes back in, he's certainly not just going to come in and take over. But you would think when he comes back, he'll get a game fairly soon and see how he is, and then, start to kind of get him back in. But obviously, it's a great problem to have for Danny.
Yeah, and my next question was, how big a win was that for Jason? Because all his other wins had could come outside of teams in the top three, so Sheffield and Belfast and Cardiff, I'm talking about. He hadn't registered a win against them. He'd had some super, this is not me putting him down in any way, shape, or form. But how much do you think that set a marker as well? We talked about Panthers going into Cardiff, but for Jason Grande to put down a marker against one of the title rivals.
Yeah, and I think he played in a couple of games in Cardiff, and we'd lost both of them. Obviously, nothing to do with him in particular, but the team had lost them, and he was in net for I think two of the games. So yeah, I think it's all well and good stringing together some good performances against the other teams, but I think we all know who the top four is, and whoever is going to win this league is going to have to beat a lot of the other top four big teams. And we've obviously we're one for one recently against Cardiff. Don't have any of them this weekend, but just round the corner, I'm sure we'll play one of them again soon, and it'll be huge. Now he knows he can win pretty much any game in this building in any rink, and it'll just take his confidence to another level, I'm sure.
Jono, we go to Dundee on Saturday, a side that did us a favour by beating Belfast Giants the other night, Sunday night. What are their, how are Panthers going to succeed by going there? What are they going to have to get right on Saturday? Travelling on Friday as well, the team are going to leave on Friday, so they're going to get the best prep and an overnight stay. But yeah, what's the key to winning there?
Just play as they have been playing. I think tight defense, scoring goals, but all lines being a threat. Dundee are going to be full of confidence because they had that's such a great result on Sunday against Belfast Giants. I mean, any time you beat the league leaders, it's always going to give you a massive boost, and that was a huge, huge win for them because they're in a big playoff battle as well with Manchester and Glasgow. So they've, got to keep winning. They've got to keep picking up points. So they're going to be treating every single game like it's a playoff game as well. We won the last time we was up. They got a great win 4-1. Lost there earlier in the season. It's not going to be easy. It's a difficult rink to go in and pick up a result. And Dundee coming off a 4-point weekend themselves, they got, two home wins. They beat Guildford in overtime on Saturday. They got a point in Coventry the last time they was away. So they're like 5 points from their last six available. So they're in really, really good form coming into this game. So we will, they will not, we cannot take them lightly at all. But if we play as we have been playing, like I say, tight on defense, good net minding, depth scoring, you know, it's a game we should win, but certainly not one that can be taken lightly.
Yeah, absolutely. And come to you now, Chris, about the home game against Glasgow Clan. I mean, Panthers' home form really has been pretty phenomenal. If you go back through the home form, I think it's one home defeat since the last two home defeats, I think, have come to the Sheffield Steelers. There's the 9th of November, a 4-2 home defeat to Sheffield, and the only other one since then would have been that 28th of December. I mean, that what to you is the big, you know, why are Panthers so good at home at the moment, would you say?
Yeah, it's 11 wins out of the last 12 home games, which is the best home run Panthers have had since 2014. So that just shows, you know, kind of how good this team is in their own building. I think particularly throughout Christmas and through January, that the fans have been extraordinary. Like the amount of times they've sold the building out. And you know, I'm constantly seeing the social media posts that you guys are putting out. You know, the odds are only 500 tickets, 400 tickets, and the like. And I think it is a difficult place to go and play. Obviously, it's a big pad which really suits particularly the Panthers' power play. You see how much they spread it about, and they've got the man advantage. And I think it's just somewhere that they are very comfortable, and other teams just aren't comfortable coming into the Motorpoint Arena. And I think, so once Panthers, I mean, Jono will know better than me because I've seen his spreadsheet about how well Panthers can score in bunches and how quickly, particularly at home, they're able to just take complete control of the game and just take it so far away from the other side. I mean, 4 goals in 100 seconds in that game that was just extraordinary there against Guildford. And there's been numerous other occasions as well that as soon as they get in front and the crowd get behind the team, it's very difficult for anybody to come back into that.
Yeah, that's a point that we've discussed on many podcasts, and it's what made the Sheffield Steelers team so successful last season. They've not been able to do it so great this season, and the Panthers have. So yeah, I think it's fascinating. Greener, there's a massive run of games now for Panthers. I think we've got six or seven successive Wednesdays at home. This week was the final blank week for quite a long time. What's the key? Because effectively we're going to be playing Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, three games every 7 days. Danny Stewart came out with a stat in the interview we did with him, and can't remember what it was, but I remember listening going, well, that's a lot of games in a short space of time. What is the key to a player to get through? I guess a lot. I mean, when you're involved, I suspect, and I've had this conversation as well with Danny before. You know, I guess, guys, because they're such big games, and again, two questions in one, because they're such big games, I guess they'd rather be playing because that's what they all play for. But what is the key for getting the body through so much hockey?
Yeah, they'll be loving it. I mean, you know, everybody knows you'd obviously much rather play a game than practice. You know, they certainly won't be practicing much now for the rest of the season with so many games. And it really is like an NHL schedule, isn't it? You know, three minimum, like you said, of 3 games a week. I mean, injuries is obviously a big one. We've probably been fairly lucky overall. You know, obviously, we've had a few guys have had a bit more longer term injuries, but in general, we haven't had, you know, multiple people out at the same time. That's been huge. You know, guys like Kelsall, Ollie, Nielsen, you know, they'll probably play more minutes, I would say, the rest of the way because you want to use your full bench. You know, me and Jono say it every week, every team that comes into our building always seems to be short of guys, and we can just roll four lines pretty much. So, keeping guys fit and healthy is going to be massive. And just guys getting their rest and recovery, you know, with the league format, they know that every game, like you've said, is like a cup final. You know, it's going to be Saturday, Sunday, you know, rest and recover for a couple of days, another game, rest and recover, probably one practice, and then the games at the weekend. So, keeping fit and just, you know, we've been really lucky with guys Jono says it every game, with the streaks guys are on, goal streaks, point streaks. Hopefully no one dries up at this time of the year. But if one or two do, we still have the numbers, I think, and that depth. But I just think, sharing the minutes out, hopefully being lucky with injuries. But I think when you're winning and you're on a roll, guys just want to keep playing. There's that good feeling around the team. And yeah, I think they'll just be excited. When you're playing for trophies, this is the best time of the season. So yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for them.
I'm going to throw you all a question to end now. Sadly, Ken Feist's line dancing classes haven't ended, so he's not joining us. It doesn't look like he's even quiet on the WhatsApp group. But this is a question I should really be asking at the end of the season, but I just want to open up the debate. And I think we touched on it before Christmas, some of us, about player of the season, best player so far. So I'm going to unfortunately come to you first, Chris, because I feel like have you spoken least recently? But Jono and Ken get thinking. If I was to say to you, you've got to name your one player for your player of the season so far, who is it and why?
Yeah, it is a really difficult one because there are so many candidates for that. But I think particularly with recency bias, I think it's easy to look at the people that are scoring a lot. But I think Jason, for me, particularly in the last couple of months, has got to be right up there, the saves that he's been making for the team. And after, I mean, different sport, but I used to be a football goalkeeper, so I know that goalkeepers, netminders, they don't always get a lot of love and grab all the headlines. But for me, I think particularly since he's come in, just before Christmas, we've been on such a good streak, and I think he's a big reason why Panthers are in the position that they are. So I'm going to go with Jason so far, even though he's not been here all season.
Fair play. I didn't expect you to go there, and but I understand why. And we paid Jason so much credit on this podcast again to come in, probably feeling that you're going to be number two to Ryan Bernard, and then to do what he has done is phenomenal. His stats speak for themselves. I mean, the kid's not played many pro games before, coming here. I just kind of come back to you there. To come into the situation he did and to probably end up doing something different to what he thought. I mean, I think that says a lot to him. I mean, you kind of forget he's 25, and he had that little link up in the AHL where I don't think he played any games, but he clearly spent time on the books of a couple of AHL teams. And it's in fact, I mean, the more you study it, the guy's realistically in his first pro season of playing effectively, and that is. I mean, that's stunning to do what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those, a lot of players in this league, as we all know, at the end of every season, move on. And I think certainly what he's done in Nottingham this season is going to make a lot of teams pay attention to him. And I'm sure his phone will be quite busy over the summer. And instead, he's taken the opportunity, he's grasped it with both hands and really made the most of it.
Yeah, Jono, you're going next. Who's yours and why?
Jean Borgora has been outstanding at the back. 14 points he's put up now, scored some really important goals, but most of all leads the league in plus minus at plus 26. He's just been sensational. An outstanding signing has really led at the back, and I for me, player of the season.
Karina?
So for me, I'm gonna go, well, I think if Ryan hadn't got injured, I would have said Ryan Bednar, obviously assuming he would have continued how he was playing. I think he was our backbone, for the first kind of half of the season. And I'm sure, the other two guys may have said the same as well. But yeah, I think if he'd have been fit the whole year and he kept going how he was, I still think he's our best, most important player. But I'll go with Didrik Henbrand, I think. I think, I'm not sure if, I don't think he has the most points, but for me, he's just been, what's that?
Joint with Sam Hare in league play, 32 points each.
I think for me, really, it's not necessarily about how many points he's got. I mean, I know he's obviously right up there, but A, the step he's taken from last year, you know, he's for me, he's gone from sort of, you know, a good player to a standout player. But for me, it's just the games where he's kind of single-handedly turned a game around, whether it be like he got the hat trick against Cardiff. But I just noticed in a few games where it was close, it was always him getting that game tying, game breaking goal. And I just think he's every game, he's looks like our most dangerous player, and he's just scored big goals at big moments. So yeah, for me, I think he's been our most valuable.
And well done there, guys, because I was always going to go with maybe more an obvious one, and that's obviously Sam Hare, and he was the one that I was hoping none of you would go for. And when you say he's the obvious choice, doesn't mean that like none of you should go for him, because I think you've made impressive statements for the guys that you have, and they will all be in the mix. And I think there's going to be guys that you know that we're not going to touch on, because it'd be really interesting when the award shows are handed out at the end of the season. It's going to be a really tough one. Like, you know, fans player of the year, who's that going to go to? And obviously coaches player, MVP, everything. It's really fascinating. But for me, for Sam Hare, I just think he leads by example. I saw someone tweet the other day, best player in the league. I think every club will have a player that they want to put forward. But I think he's everything. You know, Sam Hare has been everything we had, you know, the excitement we all felt that day that he returned to the club, he's lived up to that billing. You know, he can score, he can pass, he can get under players' skins, and he leads by example. I mean, he's a perfect captain. He's great on the ice, he's great off the ice. And yeah, and you know, typified, you know, we needed a big goal. Jono talks about the assists, and they take a lot of credit. And also, you know, huge credit to Logan Nielsen, who got a huge goal, you know, and that was massive on Saturday night as well. Massive goal from Logan. But, you know, you talk about needing a man, and we talk about, you know, can a guy stand up in a big moment? And Sam Hare did, you know, 2-1 to the Panthers. Cardiff go down the other end, score 20 seconds later, and you suddenly get this sinking feeling, is it not going to be our night again? But yeah, you know, those two guys, Fossier and Kontos, put it on the plate for Sam Hare, but he's still got work to do. The netminder's pulled out of position because of the excellent play, and Hare buries it. And it's not the first time, you know. Sam Hare has scored some huge, huge goals for the Panthers this season. He's got under players' skin. And I think, to me, you know, if somebody wants me to vote right now, I think it would be him. But that's the fantastic situation that we're in. I mean, you know, you could look at Mitch Fossier. You know, he's come in, and you know, his points per game ratio is the best in the team. It's probably one of the best in the league. And you know, Cooper Zek as well. I mean, I think if Cooper Zek had been fit all season, I think, guys, I think we all agree we probably would have had him up there, wouldn't we, Jono?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way he's played since he came back after injury, he's been fantastic. He gave us that offensive impetus that we needed from the blue line. And since he came back, it's interesting to see how much the offensive output has come from everyone within that defensive core. So, you know, he is very much led by example. Just going back quickly, you know, I know you was going back to the number of games we've got left, 22 in 60 days, which
Just
will be
about.
23 in 60 days if we make the Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of games that you've got to get. I mean, you've got to consider that what the season finishes in regular season finishes in like 8 9 weeks, which is crazy. But yeah, I know we're short on time, but I think what it shows in the last 5 minutes there is just the depth of the entire squad. All four of us have picked players in different positions. We've all picked a different player. Yeah, it could have been easy. In previous years, you've got one or two standout guys in the team, and everyone goes on that. Right? I think what it's shown is just the depth of the entire Panthers organization, which you need if you're going to go for a title run.
Totally agree, because the depth is there. There's been so many standout performances from so many of this team this year, and I think you're absolutely right, Chris. I think the past two seasons, definitely you would have probably narrowed it down to two or three players, but you've probably got 10, 11 players that you could pick from for this season.
Yeah, look, literally, as we speak, I'm just trying to bring up because my memory is rubbish. But I'm just looking at like how many. So look, last season's award winners. I've just managed to get that up just now. So the main team sponsors chose a winner. Players player, team spirit, British player. MVP, that was presented by the coaches, I think. Fans player, entertaining player. I mean, entertaining player is a fascinating one because, right now they're all entertaining us. They're all entertaining us in different ways. Goal of the season, there you go. I think that was a fans vote, wasn't it, last year? Pretty sure we
It
did.
was, yeah. It was Otto in Sheffield, that one.
What it was Otto in Sheffield. So look, there's some interesting categories there. I always think the player's player is probably the biggest honour of a player, isn't it? If you get voted for by your peers, and it'll be really interesting. Will that be one that we've noticed? But players maybe vote for players not only who do it on the ice, but something big in the room as well. There's some real, we talk about leadership, and I talk about Sam Hare showing leadership, and he wears a letter, but there's plenty of other players. Jordan Kelsall, he doesn't wear a letter. But he's a massive leader on that team. He's a player that guys turn to. And again, look, Jordan, we need you to play on the fourth line, no problem. Jordan, we need you to play on the third line tonight, no problem. Jordan, tonight you're on defence. And then to swip and to flip and flop throughout a game. So again, it just shows that the depth and the versatility of this team. We're gonna have to wrap it up. We haven't got long to go. But thanks for joining us, Chris and Jono and Greener. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, no
Thanks,
problem.
Chris.
Pleasure to
Yeah.
join.
And as I say, if you're listening to this and you haven't bought your tickets for the upcoming game, you got to act quick. Tickets still on sale for the Belfast Challenge Cup semi-final. Season ticket holders can get them for £9 plus reduced fees. General sale from £9. You get a ticket for £9 in bronze. So yeah, get your tickets quick. I kid you not, it's a cliche, but it's the hottest ticket in town right now. So do come and join us at the Motorpoint Arena. But for now, we'll speak to you soon, and thanks for joining us on the Panthers pre-game podcast.